think about the way the world is and the way that the world could be.
All of our systems are interrelated and interdependent.
There's 1,000 different voices that nobody hears.
We're looking at a human being, and there's life story.
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 Story. Story. Story.
Connection to the people we don't know that live near us.
An elevated Denver starts now.
Welcome back to the Elevated Denver podcast. Since you last heard from us, we have been busy building community-driven solutions to homelessness. We published a community landscape mapping the journeys of 40 unhoused neighbors as they navigated Denver's housing and homelessness system. The landscape showed us that, despite everyone experiencing their own journey and story, nearly everyone ran into the same systemic barriers trying to maintain or regain stability in their lives. We knew the system needed to be fixed, and that if we tackled each barrier one by one, we could do just that in what we call our collaboratories. Over 6 sessions, the collaboratory participants dug deep into the problem, prototyped solutions, and landed on something transformative: peer-led resource connection hubs. Through this special 3-episode series, we're taking you behind the scenes of the collaboratory, the challenges, the breakthroughs, and the solution that's inspiring a new way forward. You'll hear directly from participants about what makes this innovative model and the solution that came out of it so powerful. Homelessness isn't inevitable. We believe it is a failure of systems, not people. And we are shifting power to those most impacted to design solutions rooted in equity, dignity, and shared humanity.
In this first episode, we're going to explore this new model for driving change that we call a collaboratory. So what's a collaboratory? The collaboratory is not just another initiative. It's a groundbreaking model that centers on the wisdom of lived experts, those who know the struggles of homelessness firsthand, to co-design sustainable, community-responsive solutions for breakdowns in the system. I want to talk a bit about what makes this model so innovative and impactful. First, true cross-sector collaboration is at the heart of the collaboratory. We bring together lived experts, policymakers, service providers, and business leaders, groups that don't often share decision-making spaces. This diversity ensures a richer understanding of the challenges and creation of solutions that truly work. For our first collaboratory, which we ran between May and August 2024, we had people from city government, the Office of Housing Stability, homeless service agencies, business leaders, product designers, and most importantly, 3 individuals who brought their lived experience to the collaboratory. We call this group of 9 the co-designers. Elise, a co-designer, reflected on her experience participating in the collaboratory.
I think one of the biggest takeaways I've had during the collaboratory experience is solutions don't always have to come from the top. And I think that was ingrained in the basis of the collaboratory experience. A lot is happening in Denver right now to tackle the crisis of homelessness that we are in, but there's still areas that we need solutions for. And my takeaway was that the collaboratory is one of these solutions. It is filling a gap that we clearly found is there.
Myra, another co-designer, noted,
I had never experienced anything like that before. Teamwork, meeting with people from different levels and walks of life. It was awesome. I felt like I was actually doing real work and we were accomplishing big things. And I got to meet so many people and we didn't have to identify what level of experiences we had. And I felt like everybody was on the same plane.
I want to take a moment and emphasize something that's critical here. The engagement of people with lived and living experience of homelessness in collaboratories is not just to get their input or to check a box. It's with the intention of creating a space for those experts to lead in designing solutions. So in addition to bringing in the elements of human-centered design and collective impact, we also worked on shifting power within the group, away from those who traditionally hold power, to those who frequently hold none. Part of how we did that was engaging the three lived experts, Betsy, Jesse, and Myra, in developing each of the sessions. Here's Betsy.
I see it as like we're building the table, and I really want to stress that. We can make the change as a grassroots, peer-led or survivor-led or living and lived experience-led movement. I would like to shift our perspective, or the way that we think is that we have the power, and like we're inviting them to be a part of our table. We're doing it, and we would like for you to be a part of it, and in a sense, taking our power back. We don't need people in high up political positions or people with the typical power or the typical title to make the change. We can make the change and they can support us and amplify our voices, but we don't need them to do it. I feel like it's the diversity in our group that really allows us to like transform an idea into a practical solution. If it wasn't for our lens, then they wouldn't really be centered in the challenges and what it's really like. They would just be creating solutions based on data. I really do think it's having us at the table that is what is innovative about it.
In addition to the 9 co-designers, we also engaged a cross-sector group of champions to attend part of the first and last collaboratory session and stay involved throughout. The aim was to get their feedback and to introduce the collaboratory model. Lindy was one of those champions.
The collaboratory absolutely shifted my thinking about how we can solve problems here in our community. There's some unique approaches here. But the collaboratory itself is a unique approach. And the organization and the types of people that have been involved have allowed it to be the most seamless and free-flowing initiative I've been involved in. Even though I was watching it indirectly as a champion, I could see what was happening among the group, the collaboration that was happening among people that didn't know each other prior. And it's an extraordinary process that now I feel will work for a whole variety of other problem solving, especially big systems issues like this, as we go forward.
For this first collaboratory, the co-designers focused on a critical systemic barrier. When people are struggling or newly unhoused, they often lack clear information about available resources and how to access them. Fragmented and hard to navigate resources fail to provide timely and adequate support, leaving many without the assistance they need during pivotal moments when stability is still within reach. Lizzie, a champion, talked about this breakdown and the need for a new solution.
Within my role and my team's roles at JFS, we're just pretty consistently inundated with requests for assistance and also just a real genuine need from the community of someone to help them figure out where they need to go. So not just the need for help, but really just a general sense of overwhelm for folks who do need the support.
And Betsy further explained.
People care, but maybe aren't as in the know as far as like some of the real interactions that happen for unhoused folks and what it's like to be in crisis and just be given a resource sheet or told to come back or told, you know, you have to do this and that before you can come back and then I'll add you to the 2-year wait list or whatever it may be. And so I think it was really important that we were able to spend time to do that and to show what that's like.
While the collaboratory model was well-researched, as was the systemic breakdown we were focusing on, we knew that we had a lot to learn this first go-around. Therefore, we built in time to reflect and adjust our process throughout. One thing we learned was that there was a need to balance the desire for immediate impact with the slower pace necessary to build trust among participants. Sometimes that caused tension, as Jamie, the facilitator, notes.
There's a tension between having a sense of urgency because the problem is urgent and it feels urgent to people, and also what does it look like to move at the speed of trust? If we really mean to do that, then we have to, I think, interrogate the sense of urgency that comes along with processes like these. And so with that, the other thread of tension is, what does it look like to keep people engaged in an iterative process that moves at the speed of trust, where people are anxious for results? People just have different appetites and comfort around what that looks like. What I observed is like there's a real tension between how we approach change making and different ideas about what that looks like and where power lies within that. And so I do think that being more explicit about what we're creating together feels really important, and taking the time to name that and to name it together, to come to that conclusion together and be in agreement so that there's buy-in around, like, this is what we're all here to do, and this is what we're all committed to, and this is what is required for us to do the thing.
We learned that the foundation of trust was critical to being able to drive towards a solution. By fostering deep relationships before and during the sessions, we created a space where participants felt safe to share openly, despite the complexity and personal nature of the issues. Co-designers Jesse and Myra shared their perspectives.
What we wanted to accomplish, I felt, was happening, which is the relationships were being built, understanding was being created. The more time we spend together, the more we learn, the more we'll be able to adapt and go in the direction that we intend to go. That's the whole benefit of it, is the relationship building and the understanding is what we're searching for, but we only get that by doing it.
I think getting that trust built, like in the beginning, so I know where I can trust you at, where I can set my boundaries when it comes to how I interact with you in this collaboratory, I think that's important to establish in the beginning. So that way, as we go through the rest of this, as I begin to share more or interact more with maybe things that may be something I wouldn't normally be comfortable sharing that I need to share for the collaboratory.
I think allowing space for the human factor to occur before the work occurs, something that I would really hold on to for the next time, is how can we help these people find recognition in each other and empathy for each other before we begin the journey of doing this work with each other.
Not only was trust among co-designers critical, we also realized that there needed to be trust that the issue we were solving was meaningful and that the process of the collaboratory itself would bring us to a solution. Jana from Elevated Denver and co-designer Myra discussed this.
It would have been good to explain the entire process first and kind of say what's going to happen. And then as it was going through, remind people.
Instructions of what we were going to do would have helped a lot. We got them and then I was like, okay, we're moving on. But it wasn't enough maybe for my brain to process it because this was kind of new.
We believed that everyone needed to have a sense of what it feels like to seek services in order to have the confidence that we were working on an effective solution. So we facilitated an immersive exercise where designers could explore the physical and emotional realities of those facing homelessness. This wasn't just about generating ideas. It was about fundamentally shifting perspectives to address real human needs. As Jesse stated,
I think what we did, especially with the role playing, is like a huge takeaway of how even a little bit of insight can open a person's eyes to something that is completely different than they thought it was. So I think just creating space for those conversations, just like human beings in a room, sharing experiences, learning from those experiences. The connection part and the activities that we did to connect were super valuable for me, and I think everyone else.
Many co-designers noted the shift in trust that the immersive exercise facilitated.
I think what changed is people's opinion about how things were going to work, interacting with people from different sectors and different backgrounds. I think there was probably expectations, not because there was a discrimination, it was more of understanding how to interact. And now it's just, oh, they're normal people and we're just interacting with their experiences. And I feel like that's how it's flowing now.
I would think that I have had a little shift in my own perspective because it was less clear in the beginning what we were doing or how it was going to work. I think we've had some growing pains along the way, but I think that it's kind of like one of those things where you have to just trust the process, move at the speed of trust. I think we've all had that shift to just, I think we work well together.
People aren't afraid of each other and afraid of hurting each other's feelings and what the intention is. The process has become clear. But the first few times people were like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing. Now we are actually getting to the meat of what we're here to do and what that could possibly look like in the future. And I think that's pulling people in more and having them engage more than they did in the very beginning.
With that foundation of trust, we were ready to dive deeper into the design process, starting with brainstorming. The co-designers came up with dozens of ideas and distilled them into three they felt would support folks connecting with resources right when they needed them. From there, they used storyboarding as a tool to illustrate the ideas. This turned out to be a pivotal moment in the collaboratory. As Myra and then Betsy describe.
When people were confused at what we were doing, we shifted to a different way of people comprehending it. And I thought that was it made a huge change in how we started moving forward. We shifted to the storyboard and that, I don't know why that made a huge difference, but it did.
I think that once we got that storyboard, it kind of came to light. I think at first I was like, how is this different from anything else that is out there? But I think once we started just even asking those questions out loud, we got to decide how it was different and create that.
Something that stood out to the collaboratory for me was how we had experienced setting up the storyboard, all the notes we collected to hone down to get what we were going to do for the storyboard. That experience was huge because we got to switch from ideas to how it was going to play out.
From the storyboarding, we were able to clearly identify the top two solutions and prototype them within the larger community. More on that in episode 3. For now, let's leave with a comment from Jennifer Spate, a passionate national advocate who experienced homelessness, who reinforces why the collaboratory model itself is unique and important.
To have these spaces available and open and accessible for people that think differently, that look differently, to come together and have these conversations, to understand one another. At the end of the day, once we are able to come together as a community and see one another as a community, then that trust is built. This system is very paternalistic. It's very much like, I am mom, you're a child. I told you what to do. You have to do it. Without the why and without the explanation. But when you have conversation, you're able to understand and recognize and then accept so we can all move forward.
This resonates deeply. It captures why creating spaces to come together across sectors and alongside those directly impacted is not just ethical, but essential for crafting effective solutions. Together, the collaboratory designed solutions and prototyped them with the community. At the end, we had a solution we knew would work. Peer-led resource connection hubs, a direct response to the critical system breakdown of accessibility. These hubs will be pilot tested to ensure that individuals newly at risk or just recently homeless can find trusted, up-to-date resources to stabilize their situation. It's not just a Band-Aid. It's a proactive systemic change. More about that in our third episode. Before we get there, we want to take a step back and talk about why it's so important to address homelessness at the systems level. For that, we're going to turn to Don Burns, a local expert on homelessness who has written several books on the subject. More from Don next time.
This Elevated Denver podcast series is made possible with the help of a broad community and the support of Don and Lynn Burns. Thank you both for your ongoing support of our work and of the podcast. Thank you also to Sal and Mimi Tripodi for your support. We could not do our work without the expertise and engagement of the co-designers who participated in the collaboratory, the champions who provided critical feedback and input, and others we have learned from along the way. Thank you for lending your voices here, but more importantly, for giving shape to a new future in which homelessness is solvable. The podcast is produced by the Elevated Denver team. Editing, sound design, and music are composed and provided by Jesse Boynton at the Olympic Recording Studio. If you found this episode interesting and would like to learn more or engage in our work, please visit us at elevateddenver.co and sign up for our newsletter. Be the first to be notified when the Collaboratory Issue Brief and Toolkit are published. And stay tuned as we pilot the solution and build our next collaboratory. You can also find us on Instagram and LinkedIn. Follow along, share our work, and join the movement. It's going to take all of us to build an elevated Denver.